Turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We went to 50th wedding anniversary yesterday. Joyce Bridges was there and got to talking to him about singing. Got to talking about the time that we went to Nacogdoches, to the college, and I don't remember what brought all that on or nothing anymore. I barely remember doing that. But I sang in bass, and Larry Barty was singing something, I don't know. Huh? Yeah, okay. Anyhow, we was all singing something. Hilda playing piano, and believe it or not, we come away with first place. So we was really doing some singing. Come to this 11th chapter book of Hebrews this morning. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I got a fellow, a mechanic, to come down and hit me to do some dozer work. I had a couple of Bibles laying out on my little desk over there. Yeah, in the garage. That's where I do most of my thinking. I do my best thinking out there. Anyway, I think one of those Bibles might have been open to the book of Revelation, and the fellow made this comment. He said, are you studying prophecy? I said, yes, sir, I am. Anyway, we talked on a little bit, and then somehow subject come up that the Israelite people were God's chosen people, and he had saved all of Israel, and they had seen the promised land. I said, it's not right. They didn't do it. Hadn't seen it. Not the way you're thinking. I tried to explain that to him, but I could tell that just won't keep going back to the Jordan River. Well, I thought on that some more and went and refreshed my memory a little on that. They did cross over the Jordan. The Israelite people did. But when the people were numbered, there was 9.5 tribes on this side of the river, and there's 2.5 tribes on the other side of the river. And I don't know which side is which exactly. He tells where it is, but I didn't get my map out and try to study all that out. It's just old land. They were numbered, and they were all the tribes given some place to live. But it still wasn't a promised land. It wasn't a land of milk and honey. Matter of fact, it was going to be the land of very much trouble. Now, it was all right, and it was going to be good, but it was predicated on this idea: believe God. And I'll build a hedge around. And I'll take care of it. And it will be the promised land. But the Lord knew that wasn't going to happen. So I'd like to look here just a little this morning. We begin in verse 8, read a few verses here down through 16. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, you look at this next thing, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. Now, I want to talk about this promise just a little bit. There was promises, and there was the promise. Now, that's all just different. Now, we're talking about the promise. One made to Abraham. What he really told Abraham in the final analysis was going to be this: I'm going to build me a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Now he's talking about the promise. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Can't count them. This wasn't going to be like the numbering of the children of Israel. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. That's talking about a different thing. And it's talking about the same thing also. One of those promises. But, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Wasn't looking for that land. You know, that's the problem today. And you know, Israel is still holding their little old piece of land over there, and they worship it. But you know how they're holding it? By the sword, and not by the will of God. He said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, that's that other country, you understand, that they won't turn back. That's the reason they didn't enter into the promised land. They were murmuring and complaining all the way. If they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city with 12 gates, one for every tribe. What is their inheritance? What is Israel's inheritance? One is that old land over there. The other is that land above. Now that's a true inheritance. But now, they desire a better country. And dropping on down, verse 37, we won't go through all the people of faith here. We're looking this morning primarily at Abraham. Then they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, talking about all these people. And I said that land that they got, this worldly land that they got, that was what it was going to hold for. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Wasn't time, wasn't yet. Not yet. That's where we're blessed. The time is now. When Christ came, that was the promise. Now I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to make you a great nation. I think that's one reason that we have such a hard time of seeing what is the true people of God. I'm talking about worldly speaking. I'm talking about all the religions of the world. Even Israel. Israel. That's the best example there is. They keep talking about the land that God gave them. And they keep looking for an earthly king. And the people of the religious orders of this world today are doing the same thing. They keep saying, this fellow, that's what he is talking about. Prophecy. Yeah, I'm studying prophecy. That's what he's talking about. Kept going back to the Jordan River. My goodness, we don't want to go back to the Jordan River. We want to move on to a new country. I tried to explain to him, they all crossed over, but when it was all said and done and they were numbered, they is on this side and that side. They weren't together. They were divided. That same way people are today. They're not together. They're divided. They keep on saying, look at prophecy. Oh, the Lord's coming back. You know, he's going to build a temple. All these people of faith were not looking to any temple made with hands. They weren't looking to any city made with hands. They were looking for a new country. They were strangers and pilgrims in the land, living in tents, in caves, and everywhere else. Verse 40 said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Both people. One's of the old covenant, one's of the new covenant. They're made perfect. They become one. They're no longer divided on both sides of Jordan. But the two have come on. Finish this off. Go with me to the 8th chapter of the book of John. Verse 53. Jews had that attitude here that the world has today, and they still have today. said, Art thou greater than our father Abraham, questioning Jesus, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Talking to Jesus. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Now you saying that he is your God. That's what your claim is. Yet ye have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Excuse me. All of a sudden I got your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus' day. And he saw it and was glad. What did he see? The day of the coming of the seed of Abraham, who was going to establish the city, not on the banks of the Jordan, but in the heavenly. Oh, if we could lay down these worldly things, we might conceive the heavenly. And that's the problem with religion today. They cannot lay down these earthly things. They keep looking for something in this world and raising great monuments to try to hold on to something of it even after they're passed, instead of looking for that city, instead of looking at the promise that was made to Abraham, they keep looking at the promises. That's a whole different thing. What we are interested in is the promise. And that glory came down, dwelt with men, and it ascended back into the heavenly that it might build that city. I'm going to prepare a place for it. And if I go, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. There is